We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Wow. Man, these days and nights go by so fast when you don't leave the house and you don't change the clothes. Yep, I'm wearing the same different sweatpants. I thought I'd be able to report that to you today. Welcome to Overnight America. So we got a couple of guests lined up for our show live tonight on this Sunday night, but I do like to take text messages from you. So if you want to text into the show, the number is 314-436-7900. We'll take calls at 800-925-1120. And I wanted to take a look at some of the latest numbers. We'll get to that in just a moment. Rabbi Noam, he's going to talk about relations that are going on right now and the problem not going out to the services you're used to going to on Sundays. It is a tough thing right now. So we'll talk to him about that and how his community is reacting to that. We've got some clips from the presser today. President Trump, he is so right about Governor Pritzker. He mentioned something about him. I'll play that clip for you, and if you're living on the Illinois side, I think you may agree, or you might disagree. Fox News highlighted a nurse here in St. Louis, which was pretty cool, Dr. Tiffany Osborne. Dr. Tiffany, I said nurse, but a Dr. Tiffany Osborne. And some of the other limits that are going on. Is it okay to have hope, or is it not okay to have hope? Because it seems to be a couple of conflicting messages there, as the media does not want you to have any hope. Our friend Drex, we'll hook up with him at 12:30, like we normally do on Sunday nights. So an awful lot to get to. Here's a couple of the numbers, and here's the very latest that's being reported in the state of Missouri. As of today, little afternoon, cases in Missouri, 2,367. Total deaths, 34. And 27,000 people testing, patients tested. So we're, I think that's a pretty good batting average, all things considered. 27,000 tested, 34 deaths. And if we were to break it down by county, if you were to go into the city of St. Louis, 298 positive tests, 883 positive tests in the county. Between the city and the county, you have 15 deaths, most of them being in the county. If you go up to St. Charles, there's 5 deaths there with 157 positive cases. Go a little bit south to Jefferson, 71 positive cases. In Franklin County, 25 positive cases. You know, and really some of the counties that are around just moving in and out, you don't see a lot of deaths there. You do see a couple of positive cases here or there. And for the most part, the breakdown is mostly female, but it's pretty close. 51% female, around 46% male, some being unknown at the time. But if you were to like look at the age groups, it seems like you get some of the biggest age groups right after 50 plus. I mean, you get a little bit in the 40s and 30s, but mostly 50 plus. St. Louis still has the county that is the most cases, followed by the city, and then Kansas City after that. There's not a lot of positive cases in Kansas City. So you look at that for the best, I guess. Okay, so that's the very latest of what's going on in our area today. There is a lot of news to cover with this. But, you know, I'm more interested in talking to you about it, keeping your best interests up front. And that's why we'll take some of your calls coming up in just a little bit. So Rabbi Noam, And that's who we're going to be speaking to in just about 5 minutes from now. He's going to be calling into the show. And I'm really looking forward to having a conversation with him. You know, what worshipers can do, spiritual guidance, sense of community. You know, a lot of Americans are wondering, what am I supposed to do without my church, right? Some people are streaming, some people are not. So we're going to talk to him about that. He's our special guest coming up in a few minutes on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. We are live up until 2 a.m. How about that? Live radio on a Sunday night. So we went through some of the latest numbers, and we have a little bit from the press conference earlier today, some updates from the White House and the task force, some questions from the press. We'll get to those. He mentioned Governor Pritzker right over in Illinois. I'm excited to play that one for you. And, you know, on Sunday we do our regular hookup with Drex, basically connecting Canada and the United States. His show up in Vancouver, but broadcast through the Chorus Radio Network and this show all across the United States through Overnight America and the powerful signal at KMOX. Thank you for joining us here on this Sunday night. Joining us now is the Director of Interreligious and Intergroup Relations at the American Jewish Committee, Rabbi Noam Moranz. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Hello.
Hi. Well, thank you for joining us tonight on this Sunday night. I know it's a late one, but I do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
When I look at what's going on, a lot of different churches, a lot of different faiths, it's been a difficult time for them. Some have tried to figure out ways to adapt, use technology so they can at least try to provide some spiritual services to their congregation. Others have had a hard time catching up. But in general, we've seen that a lot of worshipers are just thirsty, finding ways to participate, but they're told they can't come in. And I'm wondering how you've been handling it.
There have been dramatic increases in accessing religion through virtual techniques. It seems to me that there are arguably more people accessing faith and religion through virtual techniques than were attending the physical synagogues, churches, and mosques. As a result of this crisis, people are figuring out ways of how they're going to participate, be it for Easter, Passover, or Ramadan coming up later in the month.
Have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime?
No. I've been a rabbi for four decades, and nothing compares to this. People are thirsty. They want to participate, and they're taking advantage of the virtual opportunities. It will be interesting to see what happens after this crisis abates. But we have to remember the most important part, and that is, unfortunately, that people are dying. Mm-hmm. People are ill. There are frontline heroes who are risking their lives in order to save others. So this is a secondary issue. Faith is an access point for people to deal with this kind of crisis.
You know, it's also a lot of people do look at this and they say that faith is not secondary to the virus, so they keep their deeply held faith up and they still want to go to service. They still want to worship in public and gather, and they have a hard time understanding why some of their places of worship are closing the doors and saying it's best for you to go away. So what do you say to people like that?
I'm not going to pretend to be a Christian or Muslim leader. I'm a Jewish leader, and I can tell you what Jewish values say. Jewish values put the sanctity of life above all, safety above all. You cannot put yourself into a life-threatening situation in order to fulfill your faith obligation. I think that that priority makes sense. Deny yourself one Passover and one Easter in the way that you did it for many years so that you can observe it in that way for many years to come. Mm-hmm. We can fulfill the values of these holidays without the physical structures because ultimately they are about values, about how we treat one another in addition to our faith in God. And this virus has taught us that we need to be together in order to defeat it. Those are the values that are most important during this holiday season. And frankly, they are reflected by the themes of these holidays.
Hmm. Rabbi Noam Moran's joining us, Director of Interreligious and Intergroup Relations for the American Jewish Committee. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on that, some of the things that you've learned during this time. Otherwise, you know, normally you wouldn't be held aside, and this really is a different time to live in for these type of services. So tell me a little bit about the things that your takeaways, the things you've learned because of it.
What's clear to me is that this crisis has enabled us to focus more clearly on the values of the holidays. I'll give you an example. In the Seder, the Passover ritual, the family gathering, which often has dozens, and this year will have fewer. Maybe some people will be connecting via Zoom. Others will be more strict, and whatever number they have, that's the number they will celebrate with. But during the Seder, we say, this year we are slaves, next year we will be free. In fact, we say it in the language of Aramaic, the language of the ancient rabbis, the language of Jesus and his disciples. Now, normally for American Jews, the idea that this year we are slaves, next year we'll be free, that doesn't always resonate in the way that it might. But this year it really does resonate, because our society is enslaved to this plague. And only through our compatriot behavior, through our inextricable link, can we defeat this. It reminds me of what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said in a letter from the Birmingham jail, the famous line in which he said, we're all inextricably linked. Justice, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. That's the theme this year, both for Passover and I think for Easter, although it's not my specific tradition, that we are in this together, and we're only going to get through it together if we all do what we need to do in order to be safe. And I think that's what's expected of us during these holidays.
You know, you might be able to help me because, you know, I am a Christian and I don't have a lot of understanding of the Jewish faith. So as a rabbi, part of your day to day, would you normally go and visit people of the synagogue in, you know, maybe there are some people in need or whatnot? Would you make home visits?
Yes, a congregational rabbi would normally be visiting people in hospitals. If there are shut-ins, he or she would be doing that as well. And today, we have to reach out in different ways. So if we don't see someone in the virtual congregation, then we have to check in on them. I am part of a congregation that has many members and many ordained rabbis, and I'm one of those ordained rabbis. And I was sitting working at home with my family, and a lay person from the congregation was calling people and called me and asked how I and my family were doing. Now, of course, we were able to take care of ourselves, but others might not have, and that would have triggered a response to help to bring food, to deliver pharmacy, whatever it may be. So, yes, if synagogues, churches, and mosques are not about that, then what are they about? They're not worth the bricks with which they're built if they can't take good care of the people who belong to the community.
Right. And I think a lot of people do search for answers in times like this. They wonder if this is part of something bigger. They also wonder, too, you know, about their faith. They think about, you know, what it's like to be put aside and wait for those moments they can go back into church. And then they wonder, too, if they're going to fall into bad habits while they're forced to stay at home and whatever those other things may be, because they're not as busy. And what the old phrase is, you know, I forgot what it was, an idle hands or the devil's playground or something like that.
Right.
So people worry about those things. I'm sure I'm getting that phrase wrong. But the idea is some people are worried. They say, you know, this might be a test for them right now to make sure they can keep the faith during a time like this. Do you see that? Do you see any truth in that?
Well, I don't know what God is specifically expecting of us at this moment. I do know that, and I do hope that what God is expecting of us is to find our better selves, and that we can't be, you know, concerned only about ourselves. We have to be concerned about the other. If that's the test, then I'm believing in that test. I'm not one who feels necessarily that God is testing our faith, but God perhaps is giving us a challenge to our values. Will we step up for our fellow human being? Will we worry about the other? Will we only worry about ourselves, or will we be altruistic and worry about the other? If that's the test of faith, I'm with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, if people wanted to learn more about the things you're doing, and you're part of the American Jewish Committee, and
correct,
where would they go to find out more?
The best place to go is ajc.org, where we have a lot of resources. We do outreach on behalf not only of the Jewish people and the interests of the Jews, but also for all peoples, because we've always believed that if we raise the boat for all, we'll raise the boat for the Jewish people as well. You'll also find there Passover resources and things that we've written about how to deal with the coronavirus in the context of Jewish identity. We have this program called hashtag Be a Mensch, which means be a good person. And we're highlighting people who are doing the things that I spoke about a few moments ago, that they're worrying about others, they're doing the right thing, they understand that we're all in this together.
Wow. Do you get a lot of calls or emails from people of other faiths?
Well, I do a lot of work in interreligious relations, as you know from my title. So as a Jewish leader whose primary work is in interfaith dialogue, I have a lot of interaction with the non-Jewish world. Yes, of course.
Well, I'm always curious about that. I think a lot of people are curious sometimes about different faiths, what other people believe in. I think they like to have those conversations. And it's good to know that people do reach out and ask questions still. You know, you don't want people just to assume. It's probably better just to ask a question, you know. Well, if people, again, your website for AJC, if they just wanted to check you out at the American Jewish Committee, what was the website one more time?
AJC.org.
Rabbi Noam Maranz, I want to thank you for coming on tonight to Overnight America, talking a little bit about this time we're in.
It's my pleasure, and I look forward after this whole crisis for the baseball season to start. What do you say?
I think we're all ready for this. I don't know how long it's going to take, but, man, I know we could use a distraction right about now. And it'll be a lot sweeter when the season starts this year, won't it?
It's a good thing to look forward to. It's a recreational thing. It'll calm us, and I think it'll be like a return to normalcy.
Yeah, who's your team?
Am I allowed to say? New York Mets.
The New York Mets, I got you. Well, Mets are
now
fun
you know where
team.
I get my faith from.
Rabbi Noam Maranz, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll take a look at your weather coming up in just a moment. It's Overnight America, KMOX. And and Overnight America continues. Welcome back. Here's the phone number. What have you been doing all weekend, by the way? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I do have some moments from the press conference earlier today, about an hour long-ish, somewhere in there. It wasn't a two-hour barn burner, but it was a Sunday after all. Maybe that's okay, right? But working around the clock trying to fight this coronavirus deal. And I know you are trying to work around the clock, not spreading it, whatever it may be, trying to find your ways to occupy your own time. You know, I'm on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. I'm also on Facebook. So if you're a Facebook type of person and you want to communicate or you want to just like the show, or better yet, if you want to tell other people about the show, your friends on Facebook, invite them too. We want to make sure we have as many people as possible that like the page. It's always a nice little ego boost when I go on there and look, oh, there's a couple more people that like the page. I don't know why it's like that. Never was like that my whole career, but all of a sudden, now I'm paying attention to that sort of thing. So if you search for Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, I'll be right there. And we've been posting photos. For example, producer Alex was at the radio station when no one was around. I'm broadcasting still from the basement. And Alex is walking around, and I thought, wait a minute, that's strange. She sends me a photo of our mini-mart. Yeah, the mini-mart that we have inside of the radio station. It's kind of a, it's an honor system type of deal. So there's a little terminal, and you pick whatever you want off the shelf. Like, it reminds me of when you go into a hotel, and they got a small little lobby convenience store. It's super small, but really, you pick something up and you take it and, you know, you can charge it to your room or pay for it right there. It's kind of like one of those deals. So you can either charge it to your account if you have it set up, or you just pay with credit card. But it's kind of honor system like, you know, even though there's about six HD cameras watching you at every turn. So Alex, I get this message from him in a picture of the mini mart. He's thinking to himself, well, they haven't been here in a long time. All this food's going to spoil. Is it my duty to eat the food? Now, go answer that question by going to Ryan Recker Radio. Is it his duty to eat that food? Honestly, he doesn't want to waste food in a time like of a national emergency. Can you blame him? All right, so we're going to take some of your calls if you want to call in now. But I do want to talk a little bit about this press conference earlier today with the coronavirus. And as I mentioned before, in the county of St. Louis, 883 cases, 12 deaths. That's the highest in the state. In the city of St. Louis, 298 positive cases with three deaths. That's the second highest in the state, followed by Kansas City. Then St. Charles is in there. St. Charles County, 157 positive cases. Then Jackson County and Boone County. That's kind of what we're up against right now. We're up against the coronavirus. The state of Missouri was one of the later states to hold off on putting a statewide lockdown. And I really, looking at these numbers, don't think it's 100% necessary. Even President Trump was asked about that. And, you know, they play clips about it. And he says, you know, these governors can take their own discretion on this sort of thing. They can look at whatever it is and then make the decision that's best for their state. Here's the problem you see going back and forth. The problem that you see with the states and the federal government is you get a governor like Governor Pritzker out there in Illinois who blames the government for every one of his issues of whatever. So if something's not getting done in the state, even if it would qualify under his responsibility, he blames Donald Trump. It's all Donald Trump's fault for everything that's wrong in the state of Illinois. That's what's happening right here. So Donald Trump hit back today. He is kind of sick of this because you get these certain governors that are friendly, and he's mentioned this in the past, very friendly on the phone, and then they go off and they act like a completely different person. He saw a couple of different spats with, like, Michigan was one of them, Governor Whitmer that's up there. And other states that normally have problems with him, they're getting along just fine. The Californias of the world, the New Yorks of the world, whatever it is, they can all of a sudden get along in a time of crisis. Some states can't, Illinois being one of those. And here's President Trump mentioning the great Governor Pritzker.
We've also sent an additional 200 ventilators to Louisiana, definite hotspot. 300 to Michigan, working very well, I think, with the governor. Amazingly, 600 will be going or have gone to Illinois. And, I mean, there's a governor, I hear him complaining all the time. Pritzker, I hear him, he's always complaining. And yet, I just said, give me a list of a couple of the things we've done in Illinois. and we're building a 2,500-bed hospital in McCormick Place. That's the big convention center in Chicago. And we're helping to staff it, and probably will end up staffing it, because he's not able to do what you're supposed to be able to do as a governor. He has not performed well.
He has not performed well. Now, let me ask you this. He hasn't been able to do what you should do as a governor. That's the criticism of President Trump. And I think it's a fair criticism. I think that at a time like this, is he unable to take care of the state? In all of his shortfalls, now he says, oh, it's President Trump's fault. Everything's President Trump's fault. Again, this is like classic Trump derangement syndrome. It's all President Trump's fault. All the shortfalls of the state have to be the federal government's fault. Do you believe President Trump here? Do you think that Governor Pritzker is unable to take care of his own state during this time of crisis? A lot of people do look at it that way. There was, let's see if I can bring this up real quick, but Bruce Dumont is a former talk show host, and he is someone that I'm friends with. He's a radio guy. He's someone that's associated with a lot of different radio stations because he's worked forever, but primarily in Chicago. He was a talk show host in Chicago for the longest time, and he was saying the exact same things. And I think it's important to point out that you can't blame everything on Trump all the time. And that's what you see. Blame, 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 blame. And all of a sudden, it's the federal government's fault. It's the federal government's problem that they were not prepared, or they can't keep up with the demand that is necessary for the crisis. Like here's what Bruce posted on Twitter a couple days ago. It said, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has once again used his free airtime provided to him to address the coronavirus to once again attack the federal government and President Trump over differing political opinions about insurance. While New York Governor Cuomo and California Governor Newsom are using their positives and free airtime to show their communication skills to ease public anxiety, J.B. Pritzker is becoming the poster child of a political hack, squandering political capital during a time of national emergency. That's what his comments were just a few days ago, and I don't think too much has changed since then. How do you think he's handling it in Illinois? How do you think we're handling it here in Missouri? I'd like to hear from you at 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120. Really, if you live in any of those states, how do you feel the state has covered it? Because Missouri, much different than Illinois, not only in the number of cases, but the severity. We're also seeing in how the governors have handled it two different ways. 314-436-7900. I have a couple of more clips to play from the presser today, but really, I want to hear from you. I know it's a Sunday night. I know you're sitting back relaxing, and a lot of you just want to hear me talk for 3 hours, and that's fine. I can do that. I do that all the time, but it's a lot more fun when I get to hear from you. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
314-436-7900.
And, I mean, there's a governor. I hear him complaining all the time. Pritzker. I hear him. He's always complaining. And yet, I just said, give me a list of a couple of the things we've done in Illinois. And we're building a 2,500-bed hospital in McCormick Place. That's the big convention center in Chicago. And we're helping to staff it, and probably will end up staffing it, because he's not able to do what you're supposed to be able to do as a governor. He has not performed well.
Ooh, getting a shout-out from the president today. He is Governor Pritzker. Let's take some of your calls on that. Let's go to Doris, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
This is Doris, and I want to tell you how I enjoy your show every night. And I totally agree with the president. I am so glad he called him down today, because Pritzker has done nothing for Illinois, as far as I'm concerned. I think they forget that we're down in southern Illinois. Mm-hmm. And I didn't vote for him, and I wouldn't vote for him if he ran again. So I appreciate your show, and I just can't praise President Trump enough with all that he has done.
So
thank
he's
you
not
so
giving
much.
You, yeah, Doris. Thank you. So not much confidence in Doris there. That A, he's handling this appropriately, or B, that he'll ever be able to handle this appropriately. Oh, wow. A couple of text messages. One said he's handling okay. Parson seems like he is a decent guy. That's one text message. Another text message, wouldn't this be a good time for President Trump in one of his press conferences to help, quote, bring the parties together, end quote, by quoting JFK, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country would be appropriate in this situation. I feel like that's what the president's doing almost every single day when he goes to these press conferences. I feel like this whole idea is this isn't a issue where it's a party line issue. Not at all. He's like, enough with this party line stuff. He goes up there and he purposely points out that, hey, we can get along when we don't agree on this other's political stuff. Look at the way I'm working with California. Been going great. Look at the way that we're working with New York. Goes fine. We have all the differences in the world between the two of our ideologies. And look at that. It's going just fine. It's just the ones that are trying to politicize it. He calls it out. That's why he's calling out Pritzker. That's why he's calling out the governor of Michigan, the ones that want to go out there and make this some sort of political game to them. He's not having it. He's not having it. And good for President Trump calling out Pritzker. I think it's worthy of doing that. You know, and one of the interesting things is Dr. Fauci was on, was it Fox News? No, he was on Face the Nation today. And one of the things they asked him on Face the Nation was, is this thing going to go away?
What does that mean for the risk of reinfection here in the United States?
Well, you bring up a very good point, Margaret. Unless we get this globally under control, there's a very good chance that it will assume a seasonal nature. In the sense that even if we, and I hope it's not just if, but when we get it down to the point where it really is at a very low level, we need to be prepared that since it unlikely will be completely eradicated from the planet, that as we get into next season, we may see the beginning of a resurgence. And that's the reason why we're pushing so hard in getting our preparedness much better than it was, but importantly, pushing on a vaccine and doing clinical trials for therapeutic interventions so that hopefully, if in fact we do see that resurgence, we will have interventions that we did not have in the beginning of the situation that we're in right now.
Yeah, and that's a guarantee. If he, I like that he's trying to leave that open just a little bit, the, oh, if we can just eradicate this thing. Yeah, no, probably not going to be eradicated. There's a couple of things that are going to happen first. And the fastest thing that's going to happen is that they're going to widely release this treatment that they believe could work. You have this medicine that's been used on malaria, and it's a mixture of they can use with another one, and it's been highly effective and shown some very positive outcomes thus far. And that's a good thing. When you're taking things that are already on the market, and it's a known commodity, it's not an unknown, it's a known commodity that just so happens to work for something else. You obviously don't want to pump something in that's going to do more harm than good, but they're doing a lot more good than harm at this point, and that's a good sign. So let's say it starts to get to the summer, and this thing starts to die down, and all of the efforts that we've taken in order to help this thing die down as fast as possible actually is going to come out to be the decider, the thing that really makes the difference between, hey, we could have had a ton of deaths versus a minimal amount of deaths. This is good because now they have all of summer to start stockpiling for when this thing starts to show up again. They get all of summer to get as many of these masks and ventilators and everything prepared. They have all of summer to get this treatment going, more months to work on it with the FDA to make sure this treatment's okay. And they just start stockpiling it up. So when it comes back in, we have it and ready to go. So we're not scrambling to get all this stuff, which is part of the problem now. We're trying to work as fast as possible. And you got to be kidding me. Have you ever seen the government work this fast on anything in the history of governments? Not a chance. Never. You know, the government is historically slow. Let me just give you just one bit of information. Everyone here in Missouri suffered through. Have you ever had to go inside the DMV to register your vehicle? You know how long it takes for you to go from a chair, 20 steps to a desk to hand someone a piece of paper? It takes 3 hours of government time for that to work. 3 hours. Government works slow. For you to hand them a piece of paper, 3 hours. And then you're done. And then you walk out and you're good or whatever it is. That's the speed of government. You know, they found treatments. They're working on a vaccine. They're doing all of this stuff in unbelievable record time. So you got to give a lot of credit to President Trump and the administration for doing that. You know, just by comparison's sake, I want to compare Missouri to Illinois. And I know it's two different things, but still I think it's relevant. So Missouri, roughly 6.1 million, Illinois, 12.7 million. So Illinois, a little bit more than double the population. A lot of it is Chicago. And Chicago has its own problems, its own downfalls, because they're so tightly packed. It's like, what, the third largest metropolitan area in the country behind New York and Los Angeles. So it's easy for this stuff to transmit itself and the virus to spread when you have a lot of people walking around every day. And it's just, that's the struggles of a large city, sure. But nonetheless, about double the population in Illinois from Missouri. Cases that we've seen of the coronavirus, as of today, the number is 2,300, roughly. In the state of Illinois, it's 11,200, roughly. Way more than double. So it's not even on pace. It's not even in the same ballpark, really. Illinois, it's going a lot faster. Total deaths in Missouri, 34. Total deaths in Illinois, 274. So if you're to just take that by comparison and say, well, if it's double the population, you know, they should have about double the amount of deaths if things are apples to apples, but it's not apples to apples. Persons tested, that seems to be on par. The amount of tests in Missouri versus the amount of tests in Illinois. I know Illinois has different challenges that they're trying to take into consideration, but still a lot worse of a situation overall. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get to CBS News coming up, and we'll take some more of your calls in the next hour. Looking forward to hooking up with Drex. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.